Hello and welcome to Simply Reds. My name is Zane. If this was a platoon, an army platoon, I'd be your lieutenant. I'm joined by my sergeant, Mujtaba.
Hello everyone. I'm glad to be back after my sabbatical.
It has been somewhat of a hiatus, hasn't it? We're normally also joined by our cadet, who is Mittal, but he's away. Muj, do you know what he's off doing exactly?
Well, I think he was getting a bikini wax, he told me.
It's a bit of an ongoing theme, so whenever he's away, we give him some feminine activity that he's off doing. Bikini wax it is. I was going to go for something a bit more innocuous, like Pilates classes, but all right, we'll stick with bikini wax. Last season, anyway, was a bunch of dull draws and deep depression for us anyway, and life potentially, well, the reality of the situation is life got in the way, hence the reason we've been on a massive hiatus since October. Too many episodes, too much to do, just wasn't working for us. So I'm now happy, however, to unveil our new tenable schedule, which means that we will be releasing a new episode every first Monday of the month. So we don't want ads on the show, and we want to continue to keep doing the show to be able to bring you the episodes reliably every single month. We've got a few costs that we've got to cover, and if you enjoy the work that we do, we'd love a little tip in the tip jar. So how do you donate? simplyreds.co.uk. Hit that donate button on the top right hand side. Okay, so on this week's show, we'll be covering a review of the last season, some transfer news, and then we'll have some pre-season chit-chat. How to get in touch with us? So we've got the website, simplyreds.co.uk, and you can also hit us up on Twitter at simply_reds. So on with the show. First segment, last season review. And so much first and foremost, over to you. What did you say was going to happen last season? And do you think we've met expectations, exceeded them, or somewhere in between?
I believe I predicted a challenge for the title at the start of last season, given the squad we had. Obviously the manager as well, and we had a decent pre-season. It didn't go so well in the league, but I think we got to get our jail free card with the Europa. So it ended really well. Like I said, our home form was really, really poor last season. It was just poor finishing. We were creating chances. The football was good. It was decent. It's a lot better than what we saw under Van Gaal, but our chance conversion was really, really poor. And, you know, it's going to take time for the players to gel. We were unlucky with some of the injuries as well towards the end of the season with the likes of Rojo and Zlatan getting injured. But with Pogba, Mkhitaryan, Bailly with this season, they matured now, got used to the league. So I'm really looking forward to this season now.
Yeah, it sounds as if previously anyway, we were maybe a little bit too optimistic. Maybe we needed more of Mittal on the episodes to keep us grounded. He is the soothsayer, as it were. I think I predicted top three and a piece of silverware. So if you saw Mourinho when we won the Europa League, he was asking his players to, quite embarrassingly, to indicate exactly how many trophies we'd won. That was a little bit embarrassing. I don't know about you, Mr. I'm going to put it back to you, but it seems like a bit of a loss. I mean, at the end of the season, yeah, we had plenty of silverware, but they were kind of secondary, tertiary trophies.
Well, you know, yeah, we started the season in the Europa, so we could only win it. So, you know, it was no fault of Mourinho's that we win the Europa. So I think we did really well to go on to win it. But I think that was because of our poor form in the league. Had we been vying for the title, he wouldn't have given the Europa League importance. I think we all know that. So I am delighted we ticked that off the list. We're into the Champions League now, and I'm as happy with the League Cup as well. Yeah, like you said, it's not a prestigious trophy, but silverware, silverware. And that's how you're judged at the end of the season, and we've won two, and we're back in the Champions League. So, like I said, get our jail free card. Now's the time to judge him.
So let's move on. We're still within the segment of looking at what happened last season. I thought it'd be useful to take a look at the new boys and their kind of first season and how well they got. And I know we've talked a lot about these players before. So Mujtaba, let's briefly cover off their season in its entirety. So the big marquee signing, of course, Paul Pogba. Your thoughts on his season?
He was decent. Nothing special. He's been slated a lot. I don't think He was as bad as people make it out to be him. But I still can't believe we've got him. He's a phenomenal player. And like I said before, I'm really looking forward to players like himself and Mkhitaryan really kicking on this season now they've got a season under their belt. But he's got all the attributes of a modern day midfielder. You know, he's got everything in his game. He can score, he can assist. He's tough, he's resilient, and he's aggressive. He's phenomenal. I'm delighted he's with us and he came back. I'm really looking forward to him in this season. But going back to last season, he had his moments. He went missing in a lot of the games. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. In terms of his actual stats, people love stats these days. And he got 7 or 8 goals. But our strikers had their finishing boots on, he would have ended up with 15, 20 assists.
If that price tag wasn't so high, I think his season would have seemed better than it was.
Yeah.
So moving on to Henrik Mkhitaryan. Much about a 35 million signing. Preseason, he came out all guns blazing, looked very neat, very good on the ball, clearly has bags of talent. Some fitness challenges for Henrik at the start of the season, but another one which really didn't light up the league, I would say, not as he did previously for Dortmund. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he was my least performing signing of last season. I thought he was very, very average. He showed signs of brilliance here and there, but that was against the lesser teams. Again, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like you said, he had problems at the start with his fitness. I think he really suffered from shinjiitis at the start. I don't think he really adapted to the Premier League. He didn't really take it seriously. Very similar to Shinji Kagawa, but I think Mourinho took it to the side and explained it to him, and he came back really strong. He showed signs of brilliance, like I said, but I expected a lot more from him. I think now, looking back into prison, we're going to talk about that in a while, but it looks like Mourinho's, knows his position is the number 10, and he's really going to focus on him there, because, we're always crying out for a number 10, James Rodriguez, or this player. We've got Mkhitaryan, he's one of the best in the world at that position. So we've got a gem, we just need to rough him up a bit.
Moving on to Eric Bailly, on how you want to pronounce it, 32 million. From Villarreal. For me, he was probably my player of the season, or new signing of the season, I should say. I cannot recall a time where defensively he faltered, where others around him are flapping, and we really didn't have that kind of cornerstone within defence. Eric, certainly for me anyway, filled that spot, and I see him there for many, many years to come. Your thoughts on Eric?
Wow, unbelievable. I completely agree with you. He had a phenomenal season. An absolute gem of a find from Mourinho. I didn't even know who he was. All I'd seen of him was a couple of YouTube videos, him taking on the whole entire Real Madrid defence in his own box, doing pirouettes and flip-flops. That's all I'd known of him. So I was really apprehensive about who he was and what he was going to do. But he was absolutely phenomenal, an absolute beast. And he's the future of our defence now.
Definitely. I think anybody at the moment, we've still got defensive woes. We'll talk a little bit more about that with regards to preseason. But certainly he is one of the first names on the team sheet, along with David De Gea for me at the moment. Last but not least, Ibrahimovic.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was the main man for us. He was my player of the season. He carried us throughout the season. Had he not been there, I don't know where we would have finished. Again, similar to Pogba, he got a lot of stick from everyone. Undeserved, I felt. Yes, he did miss a lot of chances, but he scored so many goals as well. He was on a free. People wrote him off. 34 years old, he can't play in the Premier League. He came and showed everyone. He won us a trophy in the League Cup as well. He scored twice in the final. He was unbelievable, and I just wish he didn't get injured. He was unlucky to get injured.
Let's be honest, we've been quite conflicted about this one. This is why I let you lead the conversation on this one. Absolutely, completely agree with your analysis on his goal tally and his goal haul. You cannot argue with that. I found it every time within the season anyway, where his performances, his overall footballing ability was being called into question. The thing that you were keen to remind us about was his goal tally. And ultimately, whenever we did start questioning him, what happened? We needed somebody to dig us out of a hole, and there he was, popping up with another vital goal. So we are quite unfortunate to lose him. However, there are rumours that Mourinho, given his influence with these kinds of players, they are quite close friends, as well as Mourinho being his manager. I think Mourinho's sort of whispered sweet nothings into his ear, letting him know, get back into rehabilitation. Once you're 110% fit, we'll get you signed on as a kind of 1-year rolling contract type scenario. So we this is not the end of Ibrahimovic, we feel. Any other sort of final thoughts on the last season, be it review, points you want to pick up on, players, anything like that?
I think, with Mourinho, everyone is always giving a stick about youth. And he never plays youth, but I think he had a really decent season in regards to youth. Rashford, he played Rashford a lot. I think Rashford's the player who played the most. He outfield played whole season, so I thought he had a great season. there was the likes of Luke Shaw, a bit disappointing him getting injured again. But I think Mourinho really rates him. He's giving him another chance. Personally, for me, this is his last chance. I'm a bit fed up with him.
Well, if that's his last chance, I don't know where Jones stands. That kid he's got 9 lives. He's in a new animal category all of his own. He's got more than 9 lives.
Well, to be fair, I think Jones was pretty quality last season, to be honest. We had that period where Bailly was out injured and it was Rojo and Jones in centre defence, and they look impenetrable. They were brilliant. It seemed too good to be true. I think Smalling's the one at the moment who's a bit questionable, but I think right now, if Jones keeps himself fit, I know that's never going to happen, but if he keeps himself fit, it looks like Mourinho trusts him and he actually likes him, so let's see.
Let's move on to everybody's favourite subject, transfer news. So we'll start off with a signing that wasn't even made mention of that much, which was Lindelof from Benfica for a fee of 30 million.
Yeah, similar to Eric Bailly, I've never seen him play before. I have no clue who he is. But if he's half as good as Bailly is, then I'm going to be delighted. I think it's pretty clear that Jose needed another centre-back, a first-choice centre-back to partner Bailly, and it looks like he's the one. Like you said, we'll speak about his pre-season performances a bit later on, but I know nothing of him. I just hope he's as good as Bailly, so let's fingers crossed.
Well, as all fans do, when the transfer rumour mill is turning, the first portal call is YouTube video. So I did. I took to YouTube to see exactly what this kid Lindelof was all about. And you'll be happy to find, I don't know who puts these clips together, but it was another one of basically Lindelof trying all sorts of weird and wonderful skills on superb teams. So I don't know if that's reflective of the actual player or not, but that's exactly what I saw. So in terms of a breakdown of exactly what type of defensive player Lindelof is, Lindelof has been described as more of a Gerard Piqué type. You know, somebody who's good with his feet, can play out from the back. To be honest, I have yet to see this. However, those YouTube videos very much seem to portray him as that Gerard Piqué type. And if he's half the player Gerard Piqué is, then I think he'll do us well. So moving on to Lukaku, joined Manchester United on the 10th of July. Signing a 5-year contract. Clubs don't release how much they actually pay for players, but I think the closest figure is actually 75 million, but with the add-ons that could be around 90 million. Your thoughts?
This is a tough one for me. I really don't know what to say. Everyone who knows me knows I've never really rated Lukaku. I've always said to people I think Everton is his level. I don't think he's any better than Everton, seriously.
Wow, that's pretty harsh. I thought you were going to sugarcoat your words, but that's pretty harsh.
It is harsh, given his goal-scoring record. He's only 24, and he scored shitloads of goals in the Premier League, which isn't easy, and he scored them for the likes of West Brom and Everton, where he doesn't get many chances. But I'm going to give him the chance. We had that saga with Morata, and it looks like he was our first choice, and Lukaku was Chelsea's first choice, but it happened the other way around. But having said that, I think Lukaku will suit us better than he would at Chelsea, and I think Morata will suit Chelsea better, so it may have panned out the right way. So yeah, I'm going to give him the chance. It looks like he's got a good relationship with the likes of Pogba and Mkhitaryan and stuff. It looks like he's linking up well. Let's see. Ibrahimovic didn't offer us much in terms of movement and pace. He was just there to bang them in, and I think if we leave Lukaku to that, he will bang them in. There's no question about his goal scoring ability. I think I know he will score minimum 15 goals for us. My only question with him is, does he have the quality, when the chips are down, when we're playing the big team in the Champions League, when we need something, something out of the blue, something special all of a sudden, can he bring that to the table? I'm not so sure, but I'm going to give him the chance.
I thought a more cultured player like Morata would suit us better. Lukaku, I very much see him as a beast, a bit of a battering ram, and more suited to, as you rightly pointed out, teams like Everton and such like, where they've got a big guy up front who they smash balls over to, who can hold the ball up and nick a couple of goals. I really didn't see him offering much more other than that. However, maybe Jose sees something that we don't, and that's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Yeah, just coming back to that about my reservations at Lukaku. We saw Benteke a few years ago go from Aston Villa to Liverpool. I see it's very similar in regards to, you know, the sort of space they were afforded at Aston Villa. Then, you know, when you go to a bigger club, you know, where you can suffer, like someone like Benteke, you know, he had this all the space in the world to play on the counter-attack at Villa when, you know, they don't have much of the ball, and he thrived. But when he came to Liverpool, you know, they have a lot of the ball. When teams come to Anfield, yeah, you know, they pack the box. Yeah, and that's where he struggled. Now, I think Lukaku will have that same sort of challenge.
It's a very, very good point. You're absolutely right. But I think Mourinho, in his tactical prowess, is not just buying the player for the sake of buying the player, or he's not just looking at the goal scorer in Cali and saying, right, I'm going to buy that player and he's going to bring us extra goals. Mourinho seems like the meticulous tactical manager. So he seems to be, even with regards to the preseason, he's, you know, tinkering around with the squad to ensure that these players are getting the type of service that they need to thrive. So that's Lukaku. We've also got, quite recently, Matic, 35 million from Chelsea.
He's exactly the type of player we need. It wasn't my first choice, to be honest. I think we spoke a lot about...
Who would be your first choice?
You know, we spoke a lot about Fabinho from Monaco, a youngster who looks very good on the ball. Yeah. Very similar sort of build, similar sort of player, but he looks a lot better on the ball and he's younger. 24, the thing with Matic, he just turned 29 a few days ago. But, you know, I think it's a very astute signing, a very smart signing. I'm not sure why Chelsea sold him and B, sold him to us. I'm a bit surprised with that. He's a lot better than Bakayoko, who they've got. I think it's a pretty average player, to be honest. But yeah, Matic's first game, he looked awesome. You know, he's going to sit there in front of the defence and just sweep everything up. And he's actually very good on the ball as well. So yeah, I'm actually quite excited. Not my first choice, but he's there to do a job and he's going to do it superbly.
Yeah, I think with Matic and Kante in the Chelsea squad, certainly last season, Kante just kind of overshadowed Matic. Matic almost seemed as if he was, you know, within the twilight period of his career. You know, he seems to have lost a lot of the attributes, his reactions. He's still got a good reading of the game, maybe lost a little bit of the pace. I think Matic certainly is on the decline. His kind of age sort of shows that as well. So I think 35 million is still a little bit expensive, a little bit steep. As to why Chelsea sold him, I simply think it's the case that they've got a better player in Kante, a younger player as well. However, Jose knows Matic. Jose's also got the uncanny ability of eking out an extra 10% out of some of these players, really getting into their heads, that psychological factor. So, you know, maybe Jose knows something that we don't know. And even if he doesn't, even at a, you know, half the player of what Matic was at his peak, he's a hell of a lot better than Fellaini. I'm just going to put that out there. So I think Matic is pretty much a replacement for Fellaini. Wayne Rooney, free transfer to Everton, back to his boyhood club. I guess, you know, as he rightly pointed out, once a blue, always a blue.
Yeah, I'm really happy for him. I think it was the best move for him and for us as well. And I think it went well. He's happy, we're happy. You know, he wasn't going to offer us anything more, to be honest. I think for himself.
We were getting frustrated with his performances, weren't we?
It just wasn't happening. I think it's the right move. We had to let him go. And like I said, he's happy as well. I think he's got a point to prove. He could have easily gone somewhere like China or the LA or something like that, America. I think he's got a point to prove. I think he will score more goals, and I hope he does. I wish all the best for him. He's one of the greatest players we've ever had at this club.
He's won everything. I mean, he's won everything at club level anyway with us. I just echo your sentiments. So we touched a little bit on Ibrahimovic. That's the last bit of transfer news anyway. He's a free agent now, but I think I covered it off a little bit earlier. Ibrahimovic being a free agent just means simply through his injury. I think once he's back up and running, Jose Mourinho will quite quickly snap him up and put him on that rolling one-year contract. Your thoughts on Ibrahimovic? Do you think he still has a place within the United squad now, given that we've got a marquee signing and we want to see the likes of some of the younger players, your Rashfords, your Martials stepping up to the bar?
We spoke about his performances on the pitch, but I think a big element was him off the pitch, in the dressing room, his character, his experience. I think that was invaluable for us. And I'd still love to have him just sitting there, not playing, but just in the dressing room.
On the bench, to scare players.
Yeah, just his presence, you know, for other players. It was invaluable. They learned so much from him. Rashford came out so many times and said, you know, he's learned so much from Zlatan. I'd love for him to come back in January. It'd be amazing, you know, just to push us over the line. But yeah, he had a great time. You know, if you don't see him again, I wish him all the best. He was brilliant for us. But I do hope to see him back.
Okay, so moving on to preseason chit chat. This is our opportunity. If you've not seen the preseason games, and some of them were at ungodly times, this is an opportunity for us to fill you in with regards to what's been going on, who we've been playing, and who the outstanding performers were. So first and foremost, we played the LA Galaxy. That was a 5-2 victory for us. Rashford stealing two goals, Fellaini getting a goal, even Mkhitaryan and Martial getting in on the action.
Yeah, it was a decent game. It was very open. We did really well at the start. Rashford and Herrera in particular looked very, very sharp. It's good to see him get on a score sheet very quickly and get two goals. As expected, we made a lot of changes at half time. We switched to formation as well and conceded those two sloppy goals at the end.
Okay, I'm going to be even more critical than that. So Rashford, I thought he was sharp. He was on the button. He, you know, it seemed as if he was picking up where he left off last season. So you know, he was looking sharp, happy to take players on. I love to see him take players on. I think we saw a lot of that from Martial, and I think Rashford's just taken that on from Martial, learnt from him, and really putting into his game. So he looked sharp. Fantastic performance from Rashford. There was this Mata and Herrera combination as well in the first half. They're good friends off the field. It shows on the field. It also seems as if Herrera's been practicing his long shots. I think he knows he's going to be potentially, last season as he was, a more deep-lying type midfielder. So he's been practicing his kind of long-range shots, which was interesting to see. And I think they're going to be a theme amongst the new season. Second half, we saw the debut of Romelu Lukaku. Decent performance. You can see Pogba wanted Lukaku to score badly, and he was trying to help his mate, because they are good friends off the field, try and score. And if it wasn't for the fantastic save by the keeper, Lukaku would have been on the score sheet. Mkhitaryan, he was a bit of a live wire. Martial looks like he's been, Jose's whispered into his ear, son, you're playing for your job.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good.
And for me, actually, Fosu Mensah was also another, in the second half, a shining beacon, a really good performer. Lindelof, I'm going to disagree with you on Lindelof. De Santos wrong-footed him and scored. So there's a little mark against his name on that one. The only other interesting point, three at the back. It seems as if Jose is experimenting with his formation, maybe trying to give us more in attack. Okay, moving on to Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, a really poor first half in this one. I think Real Salt Lake were all over us. We were just a bit lazy. But once we got going, I thought Mkhitaryan was outstanding. He got a goal and assist, and his movement was really good. And it was great to see Lukaku get his first goal for United. But again, some decent performances. Fosu Mensah, again, was, like you said, I thought he was really good. The defence looked a bit shaky, to be honest. I mean, every time Real Salt Lake came forward, it looked like they were going to, you know, have a shot on goal or even score. It was really poor. But yeah, we won, minutes on the board. Valencia, a bit strange. He got a red card, didn't he? So I think Herrera got taken out by one of the players, and Valencia took revenge and absolutely clattered into him, which was nice to see.
He completely uprooted him. I didn't see the Herrera challenge. I thought the other player must have whispered boning Valencia's misses into his ear for Valencia to have that kind of reaction. He was absolutely uncalled for. Yeah, I mean, my sentiments on this game and my analysis of it, I think Jones, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about Jones and his place, and he was out-muscled. Some would say he was pushed for the first goal, but for me, you know, a player of his kind of calibre against a team like Real Salt Lake really shouldn't be showing any kind of weaknesses. Jones, for me, a bit of a frustrating figure at the moment. Again, you know, whether it's injuries or, you know, wherever it may be, I'm just not seeing the promise that he brought to the team when we first signed him from Blackburn. He's still quite young, so maybe that's plays in his favour. Mkhitaryan, second goal and the equaliser, really some really good passing and movement. I think the key here is when he plays in that kind of second striker type role, a little bit of a more freer role, as opposed to being you know, pushed out onto the wing, we see much better performances from him.
Yeah,
I would even say Lingard had a decent game in that kind of hole, easy, that kind of just easy behind the striker. Again, Fosu Mensah, I thought, had a decent performance. Lukaku's first goal, now what a composed finish that was.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to Manchester City. So 2-0 for us with Lukaku and Rashford scoring the goals. Your thoughts on the City game?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant performance. Came straight out of the blocks. What I really noticed and really liked was our pressing. It was brilliant. We're pressing with the front. And City had no time whatsoever. We just stole the ball from them really quickly. Lukaku's goal was absolutely outstanding. Amazing ball from Pogba over the top. Took on the keeper. It was a tight angle and he just smashed it in. It was brilliant. And, you know, Mkhitaryan again, he was in that hole. He was linking everything up. He set Rashford up for his second as well. We looked really sound in defence as well. It was an easy win, to be honest. And it was our best performance of the whole tour, to be honest. I was really, really pleased.
Also, again, Rashford, you know, second for that goal that he scored coming in off the wing, you know, looks like a real accomplished player, not somebody that we've just pretty much just had around for a season or two and picked him up from the youth academy. You'll notice that Mourinho has been playing around very much with the formations, and you talked about Real Salt Lake and how we looked a bit more lackadaisical, but it was a bit of a itty bitty game, nothing really special about it. That was when I believe we were playing four at the back, and when we do come out and when we are playing well, you know, like we did against City, I think we had three at the back. And City, to be honest, City did look good as well. I think initially, when we got those two goals, maybe we sat back a little bit, but City, they certainly had their fair chances as well. So the scoreline, I don't think, was reflective of the actual game. Okay, moving on to Real Madrid. So this was a 1-1 game in normal time. And then went on to penalties.
I don't know what was worse, Fellaini's miss or those penalties at the end. it was so bad, so bad. Such an awful game. I think there's only one player who turned up for us, and that was David De Gea. I think everyone else was just, I don't know. It looked slow. It looked lazy. Nice goal, Martial. Brilliant, brilliant play for the goal. I thought young Pereira looked very, very good when he came on as well. But other than that, I think both teams sort of settled for the penalties, but they shouldn't have. They both embarrassed themselves. And thank God we came out victors in the end, because the penalties were so bad.
Yeah, so the first half was a nothing first half for me, really. I thought, you know, in terms of, again, echo your sentiments about your Pereira, he looked lively. There was one incident where he seemed as if he was up a cul-de-sac and was able to navigate out from the first half team that Real Madrid were putting out. You know, they were holding back no punches. They had their, you know, like, say, your Modric's, your Toni Kroos's, etc. So, you know, Pereira being able to navigate out of a precarious situation like that can only bode well, right? I thought, again, I'm going to point to Lingard. Maybe it's pre-season and that's what he's all about, but he really looked good in that hole as well. Second half, I think, you know, Madrid bought on the young lads, and really it was all Real Madrid, to be honest. There was glimpses of moments from Manchester United. Martial's fantastic slalom dribble, putting the Real Madrid players into all sorts of tangles. Modric and even Varane was absolutely fantastic to see. I think he almost put Carvajal out of a job. He must be a Boy Scout, because he certainly tied him up in knots. There was also, I think, Lindelof uprooting Theo Hernandez. Again, you know, showing a little bit of his rash side, maybe. Fellaini, he was given the run around.
That was funny.
Against Real Madrid, let's be honest, if Fellaini's performance is anything to go by, if we're to reach the upper echelons of the Champions League and start, you know, even vying for it, I don't think Fellaini can be around in the squad. Yeah, penalties were horrific, but from our perspective, David De Gea, some bloody great saves. Okay, so moving on to Barcelona. A 1-0 loss. Barcelona, as to be expected, the better passing, the better movement, the better build-up play, really did... I was going to say they looked sharp. They didn't really look sharp. Their passing and movement is very Barcelona-esque. However, I think in the final third, they're still lacking that match fitness. But this isn't a review of Barcelona. This is a review of Manchester United. I think, you know, there were some moments, some good moments from United. But I think, you know, overall, still plenty left for us to do if we're to reach the standards that, you know, your Bayerns, your Madrids and your Barca's have set out. Neymar, it was a good finish for his goal, but a little bit lucky, if we've been brutally honest. Valencia seemed as if he was a little bit off balance, fell over. De Gea, solid performance from David De Gea, really showing why he's potentially the best goalkeeper in the world. Okay, so the last two games, Mushrab, I'm going to hand over to you for those last two games, because I wasn't able to catch those. What were the games? What happened in them? Who scored? Who looked good?
Yeah, the first game was against Vålerenga in Norway, in Oslo. We won 3-0, so there's goals late in the first half from Fellaini. Lukaku came on, I think it was his first touch in the second half, banged a goal from a corner in, which is nice to see. I can't remember the last time he scored direct from a corner with a header. Must have been like 10 years ago or something. I'm actually looking forward to that this season. We've got a lot of taller players now, and the youngster, McTominay, Got one, a nice goal in as well. But in terms of the actual game itself, it was boring. Valerengo offered absolutely nothing, so we just sort of really slowed it down. It looked like a proper preseason game. But I think we just got the job done. That's all it was, really. Again, there was, I think Pereira looked very decent. He was, for me, he stood out. Mkhitaryan was really good as well. Good result, clean sheet.
What was the last game?
So from Oslo, we then flew over to Dublin to play Sampdoria. Yeah, we won 2-1. Mkhitaryan and Mata were the goals. It was Matic's debut. He started the game in a CDM. I thought he looked quality. He just swept everything up. He's really aggressive. It was something really funny that happened in the game. So basically, Blin played a horrific back pass, really like 100 miles per hour. And De Gea had no choice. He just palmed it away. So obviously, that's a foul. So it was a back pass foul. And then what happened was they couldn't score. And we counterattacked straight away. I think Valencia carried it 70 yards. Played it to Mkhitaryan. And Adam and whipped in a nice cross. And Mkhitaryan headed it in. Who had another great game.
Yeah, you're right. It was a free kick in the box with everybody on the line. Absolute schoolboy stuff. And then, to be honest, from schoolboy stuff to classic Manchester United, a fast, powerful counter-attack leading to the goal. So I did manage to catch that on the highlights. Okay, fantastic. Anything else from the from that final?
Yeah, I think, you know, you spoke earlier on about the 3-5-2. I think it really came to fruition this game and it looked really good. It looks like Jose is really going to favour this going into the season because it still gives you, it's a really an underrated formation in my opinion. It still gives you the width, it gives you extra protection at the back, but then you can load people into the box as well because you've still got that number 10 and you've got people rushing in from midfield as well. So what I really noticed in the past, you know, this game, the Valerenga game, was the numbers we were getting to the box. It looked really good. So, you know, as soon as we'd go forward, we have Lukaku in there, Pogba would be in there, even Herrera would be in there. You know, Matic was just sitting, doing his own thing. But then we were having width, so that our sort of number 10, which we had, was sort of pretty predominantly last season on the flanks. But now, you know, the likes of Mkhitaryan and Mata, they're playing centrally, and we're still getting width, which is really good to see. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope he sticks with it. It's going to take a little time to adjust. But I think long-term, it suits our squad. So yeah, thumbs up.
So let's wrap all of that pre-season chit-chat up. So for you, Mustafa, your top three pre-season players, go for it.
Yeah, in no particular order, Mkhitaryan, Pereira and Darmian.
Okay.
Mkhitaryan. Yeah, Mkhitaryan, like I said, I thought he was brilliant in attacking areas. He's played in that number 10 role. He linked up really well with Lukaku, Rashford, whoever it was. And he got a few goals as well. He got three goals, so really good. Pereira, I'm a big fan of him. And I think he impressed Jose. He impressed the fans as well. He was really good. He played in that sort of number 8 role, which isn't his suited role, but he looked really good and I was really impressed. His delivery is fantastic as well. Darmian, I'm not his biggest fan, but to be honest, I thought he didn't put a foot wrong all the preseason, and he played that left wing back role really well, considering he's actually a right footed player, but he can play there. So yeah, he's going to be key for us, because if Luke Shaw fucks up again, I think Darmian has to step in and do a good job.
Yeah, no, I'm just bringing back memories of Jose saying he had to be the brain for Luke Shaw and guiding him like a puppet on the pitch just made me chuckle. I've got a very contradictory, very different list from you in terms of my top three preseason players. I think Rashford has been absolutely outstanding. As I said, I love to see him take players on, and he's been doing exactly that, and he's been scoring well as well. So I think Rashford has been a star performer for me. Martial, whilst maybe he hasn't got the goal tally on preseason that he wanted, he certainly looked like a live wire anytime he's come on. Him and Rashford are the types of players that we need, who are not afraid to take players on and you know, roll the dice, create some chances. And then finally, I'm going to go with a little bit of an oddball, but this isn't really, because I think Fosu Mensah has been immense during preseason, and a lot more to come from him. He just seems to be, you know, all round, you know, is there anything that boy can't do? So the total players that we've got, Rashford, your Martials, your Fosu Mensahs, you said Mkhitaryan, Pereira and Darmian. So those have been our outstanding performers. Okay, so wrapping up the episode, anything final from you, Mushtabai, into any Manchester United gossip, tittle-tattle?
Yeah, I think I'm going to mention something. I mean, Jose's come out and said he wanted 4 signings at the start of the season. He's got 3. He said he's after a wide player.
Ooh.
Personally, I think we are going to seal it. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Go on.
Who do you think is going to be? Give me a a dream signing.
Oh, God.
And give me a realistic one, and a realistic one as well.
don't start asking me for dream signing. I'll give you completely unrealistic expectations. I'll give you the likes of Gareth Bale. And no, I think realistically it's going to be Perisic. I think we've heard the rumours about him. I think there's still some contract negotiations or something going on. And with his performance in pre-season against Chelsea, he looks like a half-decent signing. Yeah, I think Perisic is probably the realistic signing in terms of dream signings. Don't make me go there. Don't make me make you dream about your Ronaldos and your Gareth Bales and such like. What about you? What do you think?
Dream signing for me is Sanchez. You know how much I love him. I just slapped out 100 million on the
table. Oh, shit. I forgot Sanchez. Shit.
Sanchez is the one.
On that, you know what? On that note, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it on that note. That's all for this month. This has been Simply Red, a Manchester United podcast.